page 205. Even though Adorno, as early as 1932, began to stress the analogous task of art and social theory, and especially the cognitive character of an art that expresses social antinomies in its own rigorous formal language, footnote 70, text, the reduction of critique of ideology to the essay form does not characterize the early self-comprehension of critical theory. Many positions of the 1930s of Marcuse and Horkheimer especially fall under what Adorno called transcendent critique, footnote 71, text. The attack, of course, was primarily directed at orthodox historical materialism and Mannheim's general notion of ideology. But the critical theory of Horkheimer's in the 1930s, with its hidden orthodoxy, falls under the charge that the extent that in its general vision is assigned superstructure, hence cultural phenomena, in the last instance, the relatively insignificant role of retardation and acceleration of social change, footnote 72, text. In other, through not all respects, the self-definition of critical theory in the 1930s reveal the name as a code term for Marxism or Lukashian Marxism, and not its drastic reinterpretation as primarily negative, immanent dialectical critique. Horkheimer's list of the differentia specifica of critical versus traditional theory consists of the recognition of the theory's own interest structure, self-correction in terms of the up-to-date results of social science, the point of view of totality and a dynamic relationship to its potential addressees, the proletariat, footnote 73, text. To be sure, Marcuse, footnote 74, text, and Horkheimer both argued that critical theory receives present confirmation of its interest in a future liberated society in the fantasy, read advanced art, of the present that anticipates an entirely new utopian sensibility, and the philosophy of the past. But even on this point, there was some ambiguity. Both theorists accepted the thesis of the German ideology about the abolition, Aufhebung, of philosophy in dialectical social theory. And Marcuse, at least in his critique of affirmative culture, used the ideology-critical confrontation of the utopian elements of high culture with its politically conservative functions to call for the Aufhebung der Kultur. The abolition of culture as such and the end of art in the reintegration of mental and manual labor. Footnote 75, text. We should recall that the second and more secret characteristic of transcendent critique, according to Adorno, is its hidden affinity for barbarism. Footnote 76, text. In his last major opus, Adorno specifically locates Marcuse's critique of affirmative culture in this dangerous neighborhood. Footnote 77, text. In the context of the definition of critique, the clash between Walter Benjamin and the older critical theory is decisive. Benjamin's specific attitude toward history, even when he professed a higher degree of Marxist political commitment than the members of the Frankfurt School, represented a more decisive break with the evolutionist theory of progress than any Marxism of his time. To Benjamin, the history of development was always that of domination. Only moments that rupture the continuity of history have anything to do with future liberation, and toward these moments, now times, Jetztzeiten, in which the dialectic stands still, dialectic im Stillstand, he had a conservative attitude that has been best described as one of rettende Kritik, a critique that saves or redeems. Footnote 78, text, page 206. For Benjamin, this attitude, which coincides with both his theological interest and his self-understanding as a collector, footnote 79, text, was first combined with political resignation and melancholy, and subsequently with his defense of Brecht's political theater, footnote 80, text. In neither context did he attack a culture already in disillusion in his estimation, footnote 81, text. Nor did he ever propose that he had a transcendent evolutionary scheme or even a systematic reconstruction of the totality of the present which would unambiguously guarantee a dialectical abolition preservation of art in a society of full reconciliation. He saw his task not in reconstructing the totality of bourgeois society, but rather in examining its blinded, nature-bound, and diffuse elements under a microscope. Footnote 82, text. Benjamin always understood the task of critique or criticism in the sense of the search for the truth of works against mere commentary, but at the same time in terms of a strong anti-systematic, we might, footnote 83, text, say, essayistic impulse, footnote 84, text. Many years before Adorno, Benjamin moved to recognize the critical spirit inherent in at least those works of modernity, the Baroque, Romanticism, Baudelaire, and Surrealism, which eschewed the task of symbolic reconciliation in the medium of beautiful appearance. Benjamin hardly elevated theoretical critique higher than the imminent critique latent in works themselves. The task of his own critique was simply surgically to remove or to blast open, collect and save the critical fragments of the past that could help transform cultural heritage from a burden to a possession, to moments of secular illumination, which he defined in terms of the earthly promise of happiness. Thus, the multitude of quotations in his Origins of the German Trauerspiels and the intentions to compose his study of the Parisian arcades, Passagenarbeit, entirely of quotations, while such concepts of Lucretian Marxism as second nature, fetishism and practice had already had a strong effect on him in the 1920s, and Benjamin always did without the concept of mediation. Footnote 85, text. To Benjamin, even dialectic could only reveal and express antinomy and not surpass it. This is what he meant by the expression dialectic im Stillstand. On the one hand, a dialectic at still standstill brings to the sharpest focus the reified, frozen, second natural elements of bourgeois culture. Footnote 86, text. While on the other hand, those elements are antinomically and statically related to dreams or wishes or memories of the present, dialectical images concerning free collectives. Footnote 87, text. Page 207. The difference between the Lukashian Marxism of early critical theory and Walter Benjamin's notion of critique was clearly noticed by Adorno in his criticism of Benjamin in the 1930s. Nevertheless, Adorno's own position eventually emerged as the uneasy synthesis of the opposing poles, critical theory and retente critique. His critique and appropriations of Benjamin needs to be presented primarily in terms of their clashing evaluation of the relationship of art and modern technology, and of art and politics, modern art and cultural industry. Having presented some of the conceptual parameters presupposed by the Frankfurt theory of culture, we should now indicate in detail how these parameters were used. Horkheimer's End of Reason could equally serve as the lead article of this section. The essay, A Critique of Late Capitalist Culture and Politics, give convincing proof of its authors' adherence to what we outlined as the theory of social formations, which emerges from the works of Marx, Weber, and Lukács, and of his ability to adapt his model of current needs and experiences. Marx, Weber, and even the Lukács of history and class consciousness saw only a unified epoch of civil society as against his historical background and future perspectives, while Horkheimer confronted an internal process of development from liberal to authoritarian versions of civil society. Thus, in 1941, he was able to locate historically the emergence of the individual as against a traditional Greek and medieval background in which a harmony existed between individual and the symbols of the collectivity. In the liberal period and the increasing crises and decline of the subject in the period of the authoritarian state. Footnote 88, text. Furthermore, under the impact of new theories as well as experiences, he was able to specify new aspects of this decline, among them the destruction of the family, the weakening of the ego in the psychoanalytic sense, and the emergence of false manipulated collectives under the impact of mass culture and especially fascism. Horkheimer, Marcuse, and Löwenthal in the Hamsung article below understood fully that in the context of the destruction of community, of urban loneliness, industrial degradation of nature and economic crises, the vacant egos of the present are especially exposed to the charm of demagogic movements proclaiming the fake restoration of national community, the false return to nature, and the very real end of economic crises through the militarization of the economy. Footnote 89, text. Page 208. As in political sociology, the cultural theory of the school unanimously declared that all attempts to return to a supposedly golden age were bankrupt and morally dangerous. No one was more emphatic on this point than Walter Benjamin. Benjamin's 1925 pre-Marxist volume, The Origin of the German Trauerspiels, footnote 90, text, sad play as against tragedy, was next to Lukács' theory of the novel, the most important background text of Frankfurt Kulturkritik. Its concept of allegory has been construed by the old Lukács, by Adorno and Habermas, among others, as the key to the interpretation of modern art. For the moment, we are interested in Benjamin's depiction of the historical context of the emergence of allegory as an anti-aesthetic principle within art itself. This context is the second nature of civil society, elaborated by the art of the Baroque, according to Benjamin, in terms of a natural history of decay, decline, and disintegration. The allegories of the Baroque, but also the implication those of Romanticism and of the 20th century, represent the dominant modes of expression of periods in which things lose their immediate relationship to supersubjective event evident meanings. Footnote 91, text. The allegories of many cultures are tightly woven, deliberately simplified schemes that unmistakably point to an external referent, usually transcendence, for those members of a community who possess the key, for example, the Bible, the Quran. The allegories of civil society are, however, ruins and point only to the metaphysical homelessness. Compare Lukács' theory of the novel, of lonely creatures in despair about transcendence despite their conventional religiosity. The allegorization of art means that art has become problematic to itself to the extent that the genuine aesthetic principle of rounded, closed, symbolic totalities of beautiful semblance are accessible only to artistic epigones. The unmistakable problematic of Benjamin's study is that of the disintegration of community, footnote 92. text, and the fate of the human creature in the context of a second nature, over which he is powerless. The theme of the decline of community accompanies Benjamin's life work, to be later complemented by the hope for the construction of a new type of free collective.